Ladies and gentlemen, the George Wilder Jr. Show has now arrived. This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
All right. Okay. I will. All right. Oh, wow. Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Glad you could listen live or, you know, podcast the show once it's done, and at least this episode. Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Let me start that again because I'm stepping all over my tongue. Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. I'm in my studio, lovely studio. A little cluttered, but still a nice place to be. It is so beautiful outside, folks, in the city of Chicago, and I hope it's great where you are. It is just, I mean, it's just phenomenal. It was in the 80s or close to the 80s today, sunshine. It didn't look like a fall day heading into winter. It looked like it was summer. It was sun was out. I mean, I don't know. I'm just totally in awe of this great, great, great weather we're having so late in the month of October in the city of Chicago. And it's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's almost scary. Because when the weather is this nice, when it's not supposed to be, we brace ourselves for the worst to come. And, you know, hopefully that will not come to pass. And like I said before, I hope wherever you are in the world that you are doing great. You're doing fine. The weather is great getting out. I see a lot of people outside my studio window here, and they're out and about taking advantage of this great, great weather. They're out and about taking their, you know, short sleeves, shorts, you know, and this is totally jacket weather. It's supposed to be anyway at this time of the year. But, you know, people out enjoying the weather. Hey, yours truly was out there earlier, and it is just so damn beautiful. It is wonderful. And another note I want to espouse on, the Cubs are playing tonight in their second playoff game in the second round of the playoffs. I think they're going to be playing the Giants, Cardinals, or something. Well, anyway, we just hope they'll win. They're down 1-0 in the second round of the playoffs, and hopefully they can pull this out. Because if they can't pull this out, then they'll be down 2. I mean, there'll be 0-2. You know, 1, they didn't win any, they lost 2. And I believe this is the best of 7. As you can tell, I'm not a sports person. I'm not a sports guy. But I'm just enthusiastic about the Cubs. Any Chicago team, I get very enthusiastic about, because it's always when a team is winning, a team is doing well, a team is making its fans and the city proud, you have to expound on that. Because, I mean, when people think of Chicago, let's face it, they think of crime. They think of the number one thing they think of is crime. And it's a miserable milestone. Chicago surpasses 600 homicides this year. This year, 600 people were killed in the city of Chicago and counting. And, you know, I hear a lot of people say, well, do not blame the police. The police are doing the best they can. I don't think so. I'm in a minority. I don't think the police in the city of Chicago doing the best that they can. A lot of these killings could have been avoided if there had been a police presence. You can say, well, there's not enough policemen on the street. You can say the policemen are just patrolling and they're not at the scene when these things happen, but there is supposed to be some sort of police presence in these communities to prevent these type of crimes. The guys, the shooters, the murderers, the thugs, they shoot because there's no police around. They're not going to shoot if a cop is there present. Let's be frank, folks. Let's be real. If a policeman was stationed right across the street from me or something, and a bunch of gangbangers were walking down the street, you think they're going to commit a crime in front of that police officer while he's parked there or sitting there? No. This is what the problem is. Policemen, and you can blame the bad parenting, you can blame the awful situations, you can blame lack of education, the lack of opportunities, if you want to. That's up to you. In these, some of these communities, the lack of a good father figure or a mentor to some of these young men. You can say anything you want, but as I've stated many times on this show, police, they have an obligation in this too. Sometimes I believe the policeman of Chicago, the Chicago superintendent, they act as if they, you know, are neutral from all of this, as if they're not to blame for all of these killings, because they weren't there to stop some of this stuff, to prevent it. This is what they get paid for. They're getting paid for is to serve and protect, and that's not happening. I'm not putting all the blame on the Chicago police, but when you don't see a police presence in these high crime communities, what do you think is going to happen? It's going to be more crime, because the bad guys are going to say, hey, there's no police around here. Let's take out our gun and shoot somebody. And lo and behold, another homicide. And a lot of these homicides, majority of these 600 homicides that has gone on in Chicago, that has happened in Chicago this year, these guys who perpetrated these crimes, some of them are still out there on the streets. And when a killer is out there on the streets, he's out there to do one thing, to kill again. And I do blame the police officers in the city of Chicago for not being present to stop these crimes. I know there's a lot of people out there that's going to disagree with me, but that's fine. I don't care. You have your own opinion. I have mine, but I think I'm right. I think I'm right. I hear so many people, well, it's not the police fault. The police are doing the best that they can. We have to give these young men an education. We got to give them opportunities. We got to make sure that we mentor them, if I can say it, mentors. You know, some people you can get to, some of these young people you can get to, some of them you cannot. Because some young people just have these ingrown genes to be criminals, you know. But we're not talking about that right now. We're talking about the police presence. You know, I can talk about this stuff all day long, every day on the show, you know. And people will listen to the show. They'll go back and tell whoever, and they will disagree with me. You know, they'll come up with some sort of spin, some sort of lie to say, George, no, that's not it. It's bad parenting. It's the lack of opportunities. It's the lack of businesses in the community. It's the lack of job training. It's give me a break. Give me a break. What is the lack of? It's a lack of police presence in these communities to stop some of these killings in the city of Chicago. Okay. So far, it's been 600 killings, murders in the city of Chicago. So far. And we have about 2.5 months to go. You know, I mean, what are the police department going to do? That I still do not hear a plan for lowering crime in the city of Chicago. I don't hear it. You know, when Gary McCartney was the police superintendent of Chicago, this guy would come on TV. He would come on TV and he would give us a plan. He would talk about what he was doing to try to lower crime, what his officers were doing to try to lower crime. He had a plan. He had solutions. They didn't work, but at least he had a plan. He had plans. They didn't work. But this guy and the mayor, they have no plan. They won't even tell you what they're doing to try to bring the crime situation down in the city of Chicago. Well, they are trying to, some of the things they're trying to do, they're trying to give these brothers, these young guys jobs. They're trying to give them opportunities. I mean, some of the, if you think about it, some of the community leaders are holding workshops for these young men to get them off the street. That's great. That's wonderful. That's beautiful. You want to get the youth before the gangbangers get them. You want to get the youth before the bad guys get them. Either way, whether it's joining a gang or being killed by a gang, you want to get them off the street. That's fine. But like I just said, you got people out here. You got some young men out here who are just ingrown criminals. You're not going to change them. No way, no how. They're going to pick up a gun and go out and shoot. They're going to initiate somebody to join their gang, give them a gun and say, go out and shoot somebody. If you want to be a part of this gang, go out and shoot somebody. That's your initiation into this gang, is to go out and shoot somebody. And they go out and shoot. And like I said before, this would not happen if the police were present. I know the police can't be on every damn corner, but at least earn your money. I would say at least earn your money. Get out there and stop some of this stuff. This looked bad on Chicago's resume. 600 killings. The shootings, if I added the statistics of the shootings, it would be maybe in the thousands. 1,000 shootings, 600 murders. You know, that's pathetic. And you call yourself a police department, you call yourself a mayor, you call yourself a governor. All of these people have a stake in lowering the crime in the city of Chicago and elsewhere. Of course, Chicago is not the only city within the United States with crime, but it's the only city with this high amount, this much crime. And I keep saying to myself, why don't they follow the suit of New York City or Detroit or Los Angeles, which are bigger cities? And I hear that they have a reason why the crime is so high in Chicago and less so in Los Angeles and New York is because they're saying that New York and Los Angeles have stronger gun control. They have stronger gun control laws. I don't buy that. I truly don't buy that. What I think, the reason why a lot of these other cities and states have lower crime than Chicago is because they have plans. They have a better solution. They know how to go about taking these thugs off the street. I mean, they know the gangbangers. They know who they are. They know where they are. They go and get these son of a guns and get them off the street. Because if you, I agree with one thing that they're saying in the city of Chicago, a lot of these criminals are being released too early from prison. And a lot of times these guys are released from prison. These criminals who have committed gun crimes, they're released too early from prison. And once they're out of prison, there's nowhere else for them to go. They can't get a job. Of course, they've been incarcerated. They can't get a job. Nobody's going to hire them. More than likely, they can't go and live with their relatives, you know, because, you know, who knows? For whatever reasons, they're out there on the streets and they go back to doing what they were doing at first that landed them in prison. So what I'm saying is they go back out there and do what they were doing before they landed in prison. And this is, I agree with that. I think that the court system should keep these guys locked up a hell of a lot longer and not just throw them back out on the street with nothing to do and nowhere to go except for to wind up back in prison again. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. My guest today is Paula DeAndrea. She's going to tell us about the reset expert. I don't know what that is. I'm pretty sure she's going to explain it to us. But always remember this. This show is about making the world a better place. And every guest, every caller that I have on this show, they gonna add something to that because they know this show is about that. They would not call into the show. They would not be guests on the show if they did not have something to offer you, my listeners, a better way to make your lives better and a better way to make this world a better place. And, you know, it's just getting so it's hard. It's difficult, but I can't do it by myself. You can't do it by yourself. It's going to take a lot of us collectively to try to make the world a better place. Why, you know, if that's the bad guy over there, then you know there's two or three good guys on the other side. So we want to try to get more good guys out here than there are bad guys. And it's all about making the world a better place. And that's all it is, folks. And like I was telling Lauren yesterday on the show, it's not about me. It's not about me. I've been there. I've done that. It's over for me. But, you know, we got to look at the young people out here and looking at the people who are trying to make something of themselves, but they're having a difficult time at it. And I'm all out for helping people who want to help themselves. I'm all out helping. It doesn't matter how old you are. You can be 16 to 116. If you want to better yourself, if you want to know something, if you're not sure of something and you want to hook onto somebody that could probably tell you a few things. One of the things I learned, if you're looking to get somewhere in your life, you have to get to know people that know people. That's true. That is very true. You want to get somewhere in your life, get to know successful people who know successful people. People they can introduce you to and talk to you about, you know. So that's one of the things I wanted to throw out here because that's so true. That is so true. You're not going to get anything sitting at home. You're not going to get anything moping around the house or moping around the neighborhood, praying that you're going to find $1 million in a bag somewhere. It ain't going to happen. You have to get out here in the world and find your place. Find what you want to do. And get the negative people out of your life. They will hold you back. You will not get anywhere if you have people around you who are not supportive because you at what you're trying to do or what you are doing. You need support. Everybody, I don't care if you're sweeping floors or mopping floors, you need support at what you're doing and what you love doing. Because it doesn't matter to me what you're doing. I don't care if you're sweeping floors, a janitor, or dumping garbage. If that's what you want to do, then that's what you want to do. But if you want to better yourself and be something a little bit more, this show is all about that. So I encourage people to listen to this show every day, all the time, even the podcast, even the downloads, even if you want to go back and look into the archives. The shows are great. Now, most of them are totally informative. Because, you know, I'm the host. What else? And I do talk politics, but sometimes I do sway away from talking politics and just talk about life in general, because we're all out here for one thing. We're all out here to try and be successful as much as we can. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We'll be right back. Stay with me.
Well, the Kelly File is tonight getting an exclusive look at a strongly worded message from one Hollywood icon, and the man does not mince words. While one legendary actor's off-the-cuff comments for an ad campaign wound up on the cutting room floor of that Get Out the Vote effort, we have obtained an exclusive look at this actor's comments, and you know him very well, and here are Robert De Niro's thoughts on Donald Trump.
I mean, he's so blatantly stupid. He's a punk. He's a dog. He's a pig. He's a con, a bull artist, a mutt who doesn't know what he's talking about, doesn't do his homework, doesn't care, thinks he's gaming society, doesn't pay his taxes. He's an idiot. Colin Powell said it best. He's a national disaster. He's an embarrassment to this country. It makes me so angry that this country has gotten to this point, that this fool, this bozo, has wound up where he has. He talks how he wants to punch people in the face. Well, I'd like to punch him in the face.
Wow, I just love Robert De Niro. He is really, really telling it like it is. I mean, this is an actor. He's a phenomenal actor. I believe he won a few awards or something like that for Taxi Driver. But he's a great actor. I think he's around 72, 73 years old. But you can see he still has it. He's still acting on stage and in movies. And he's giving his opinion about Donald Trump. And that's been all over the social media and Twitter and everything. And, you know, he stands by what he says. He stands by it. Okay, let's talk about some more about this Chicago crime thing. And the 600th killing occurred Monday night in Inglewood. It just happened, which has seen 45 homicides so far. This particular neighborhood in Chicago, Inglewood neighborhood, has seen 45 homicides already collectively throughout the year. It is summed up to 600 people killed. Ronald McBee, 24, had been fighting with another male over a gun about 10:40 p.m. on the block of 7300 South Morgan. Okay, eventually the other male got control of the weapon and shot McBee, who lived on the same block. I mean, this goes on and on and on and on and on and on. People get pissed off, they shoot. They get mad, they get angry, they argue, they bitch about nothing, and then they wind up shooting each other, right? And it's awful. It's just awful. I can read this article, but you know, it's only thing I can say is the police has to do a better job in preventing some of these crimes. I know the police officers cannot be on every street corner. They cannot sit and nursemaid every community. I know that, but something has to be done. We have to hear some plans of solutions or solving these kinds of crimes. And I don't want to hear that it's lack of gun control, too easy to get a gun. Okay, maybe it is easy to get a gun. I mean, you can conceal and carry. I mean, everybody has a gun. You know, and a lot of these gun crimes are caused by people who are legally carrying them. You know, illegally carrying the guns, you know. And but still in all, I think the police officers has to find, especially the superintendent, they have to find a solution, a plan for all of this. Okay, you can say a lot of solutions are getting jobs. The solutions are getting to the young people before the gangs get to them. All of that's great. That's wonderful. But the real solution is to stop people from killing each other. Stop black on black crime, because that's all it is. That's all it is. And these young men who are going out there gangbanging and thugging, they're the dumbest in the world, because they don't know that the Republicans are looking at this this whole scene and just laughing. Oh, the niggers are killing each other. Ah. And I'm just now hearing that Chicago is one of the obviously the crime in the city of Chicago hasn't deterred the tourism. I'm trying to say tourism in the city of Chicago. I'm hearing that it's up twofold. That's a good thing. You know what people from other countries and other states and cities like about Chicago? They like the downtown loop. They love the loop. The something that they call the bean. That's great. If you don't know what I'm talking about, look it up, research it. Chicago loop, the Buckingham Fountain, so many landmarks. The Harold Washington Library. It's great. It's a beautiful city, folks. Chicago is one of the most beautiful city in the United States, or maybe in the world. But there's a damper, crime. We got to do something about crime. And I don't think doing something about crime in the city of Chicago is getting up and moving and leaving, especially if you want to stay in your community. You love your community, you want to stay there, then do not let the bad guys run you away from your community. That's your community. If you like it, you love it, you stay and you fight for it. You get them the hell out of your community, because a lot of the gangbangers and thugs that hang around in some of these communities, these guys, they don't even live there. They're not even residents. They come from other areas somewhere and they hang out on your street or your block or in your neighborhood. They don't even live there. They pick up young girls off the street, make them prostitutes. And once they get money, these young thugs take the money from them. If you don't want this in your community, fight for it, take it back. Don't let these thugs do this. And I'm going to say to the police, patrol a lot more. I have offered, since I've been on this show just about every day, I've offered solutions. Apparently, they're not listening, or they just don't give a damn, or they think I'm not, or I'm way off on this thing. I've offered solutions. And they're to the politicians, Rahm Emanuel, Bruce Rauner, and even the Eddie Johnson, the superintendent. I've offered solutions on this show. Either they're not listening, or they don't give a damn, or they're blowing it off. The solutions that I offer on this show to try to lower crime in the city of Chicago is to place police officers in these high crime communities. Not all communities are high crime in the city of Chicago. In the Inglewood community, some of these other communities, high crime communities where there is something that's going to go off. Post them there. Do not just place them there, but post them there. You know, 24/7, you know, it should be posted there. I mean, because if the bad guy sees a police officer constantly in that community, surveying that community, they're not going to commit any crime. They're not going to shoot anybody because the police are there. But the minute the police up and leave, oh, here come the bad guys. And another thing I've said, National Guard. If you feel like you don't have enough manpower pertaining to the police officers, put the National Guard over there. Have them posted in those communities until the bad guys have been exterminated. Or if you don't think the National Guard is going to do it, the United States Army. Because the thugs, the criminals, the gangbangers, they're not going to shoot at the army. Why? And I've said this before, because the army will shoot back. There are so many solutions, good solutions, beside gun control that we can do to lower crime in the city of Chicago. Real reasons, pertinent reasons, ideas and plans that have not been implemented. Have not been implemented, but there are ways to get clump. I believe in my heart that there are ways to bring crime down in the city of Chicago. I believe that. I know that. But we just got some asshole politicians, people who are running things. They're not doing it. I don't think the mayor or the governor wants the National Guard. I don't think they want the army over there. But people are dying, and it's their responsibility. They're the leaders to protect the people of this state, to protect the people of this city. It's their responsibility. They should try every option that they can at their disposal to bring down the carnage in the city of Chicago that is ever, ever rising, increasing. And, you know, that's it in a nutshell for me from the George Wilder Jr. Show. That's it in a nutshell. If you're out there, you know, I mean, you're listening, tell them about my plans or the plans. I don't care. You can steal them. You can take them. You can call my ideas your ideas. But do something about the shootings, the killings, the murders, the gangbanging, the thugs, the thieves. Do something about bringing down the crime rate in the city of Chicago. Don't just get fatter. Don't just talk about it. Don't go to meetings. It pisses me off sometimes when I see police officers all sitting around a table at a meeting or something when they should be out in the communities. Because if you think about it, they are at these meetings, the police officers who are supposed to be in the communities, they're at these damn meetings while crime is going on in these communities. You know, and they're getting paid a pretty big buck, a pretty good dollar. And I'm hearing that by 2017, they're going to be hiring more officers because officers, as I speak, they are retiring or they're just getting out of the game or whatever, you know. So, you know, that's George Wilder Jr. Show. And I have been offering solution after solution after solution because I do believe that the crime can be controlled in the city of Chicago, but we just do not have the people with the guts and the stamina to do it. They're making excuses. They're BSing the people of the city of Chicago, period. And you got so many, well, the crime, you know, you got to do something. The crime, it's bad. Where is the police? Are they patrolling? We need more police. We do. I mean, this is Rahm Emanuel's second term as mayor. And pertaining to the crime situation, it just goes down into the sewer. And I don't think Governor Bruce Rauner gives a damn about Chicago or Chicago crime, Chicago schools. I just don't think this man cares. This man wants power. He doesn't give a shit about the crime. He wants power. He wants the power that Michael Madigan has. He wants to get Michael Madigan out of there. And he's focusing on the November election. That's what he's focusing on when he should be focusing on crime in the city of Chicago, because Chicago is a part of Illinois, in case he doesn't know that as governor. All right, you've been listening to George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. And like I said, my guest, well, she hasn't showed up, so I'm figuring that she may have canceled without telling me, or she may show up later. Who knows? Who knows? But anyway, we're going to, like I've always said, if a guest doesn't show up, the show always goes on, and it will go on. Because there are so many things to talk about. There, it just, and I want to say this, folks, vote. Vote, vote, vote. I mean, I believe the election is 3 weeks from today, 2.5 weeks from today, something like that. And it is crucial. The third debate is tomorrow, okay, from today. In case you're listening to the show, if you're podcasting the show, later on, a few days, yeah, you know, in the future or something, you'll know that the date. And I'm excited. I want to see it. I want to see it so bad. I want to. Basically, one of the reasons I believe people tune into the debates is to see Donald Trump fall on his face. And lately, he's been falling on his face. But you know what? Every time Donald Trump falls on his face, whether he's at a debate or at a rally, He doesn't even realize it. He doesn't even realize he's saying something wrong. He's saying something ridiculous, or he's saying something racist or sexist. He doesn't even realize what he's saying. And the only time he realizes what he's saying is when the media plays it back for him, or the media tells him that is ridiculous or something like that. And that's one thing about Donald Trump. He's getting in the ass of media. Of the media, and I would say that's a wrong thing to do. You don't trash the media, because the media has the power to make or break you, and the media has to be your friend. If you want to be elected president or dog catcher, you have to get along with the media. I mean, you have to really do. You have to get them to like you, and you can't have them hating you and despising you and want. And you're talking about you're going to sue them for something that you've said, and it's on tape. All these women coming out saying that you sexually harassed them. All these women, they're not lying. They're not lying. It's too many of them. They're not lying. And some of these women can offer up facts. So they're not all lying. All righty. All right, we have been talking about the miserable milestone that, you know, in Chicago, that 600 homicides. That's totally embarrassing. And I know you folks kind of heard that Obama said to Trump, stop whining about rigged election. Yeah, Trump talks about a rigged election. He has no facts. It has no merit, but he still says it. He says it for one thing, because he's revving up his base, his supporters. This is what his supporters want to hear. This is, and I'm hearing that he's trying to negotiate a show after the election, you know, to have his own television network, the Trump network, probably. And I'm hearing that that probably won't work, because people are cutting the cord on cable. There are so many people who do not have cable anymore. They gave up on cable. If people have anything, it's Netflix. Netflix, I'm hearing, is doing real well with investors. You know, I'm I'm hearing about Netflix. Yeah, at one time I had Netflix. It was pretty good. It was pretty decent. I may just go renew my prescription. Wow. All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me right here on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me on Twitter. I'm all over the place. I am totally all over the place. And it's fun, folks. I enjoy what I do.
I mean, and finally, new rule. Somebody has to tell me why America just made this guy so famous. This is Ken Bone, one of the undecided voters who asked a question at last Sunday's debate, and since then has become a folk hero.
We begin today's show looking at police killings of two African-American men, one in Tulsa and one in Charlotte, in North Carolina, which was rocked by protests overnight as after hundreds took to the street and blocked Interstate 85 to protest the police shooting of 43-year-old African-American Lamont Scott. Video shows protesters blocking the highway where fires were lit. Police are in riot gear, responding by throwing tear gas at the crowds. Police say about a dozen officers were hurt during the conflict. Protesters were also hurt.
Keith Lamont Scott was shot and killed around 4 p.m. Tuesday after police arrived to serve an arrest warrant for another person at Scott's housing complex. The accounts of the shooting diverge sharply. While the police claim they first tased and then shot Scott because he was armed and posed an imminent deadly threat, Scott's family says he was not armed except with a book. They say he'd been sitting in his car waiting to pick up his son after school. This is Scott's daughter speaking in a Facebook Live video recorded at the scene of the shooting.
What are they over there doing?
He was like, they, when I heard him,
shot my daddy for being black.
Shot him and he just,
you little
bitch. He just
shot my daddy for being black. And look, and they just standing because they. Right, he disabled. How the fuck he gonna shoot y'all? He didn't got no.
This comes as police in Tulsa, Oklahoma, have released a video showing a white police officer shooting and killing unarmed 40-year-old African-American Terrence Crutcher while his hands were in the air. Officer Betty Shelby shot Crutcher around 8 p.m. on Friday after his car broke down. Some of the video released Monday came from a police helicopter footage in which one can hear the man in the helicopter saying about Crutcher, quote, that looks like a bad dude. This is a clip from the police footage.
This guy's still walking. They're following commands.
Not for taser, I think.
That's a, got a feeling that's about to happen.
That looks like a bad dude, too. To be on something.
Which way are they facing?
Police one, they're facing westbound. I think he may have just been tasered.
Shots fired!
Ooh. 321, we have shots fired. We have one suspect down. We need to enter here.
They need to get this eastbound closed down if they could, because they're not going to be able to let anybody.
Okay.
Other footage from a police dash cam vehicle shows Crutcher walking slowly away from officers with his hands in the air, then putting his hands on the side of his own car as he's surrounded by officers. The video captures a voice coming over the police radio saying he's just been tasered, and then a woman's voice yelling, shots fired, as the video shows Crutcher's arms falling to the pavement. The Justice Department says it's investigating the shooting of Terrence Crutcher as a possible civil rights violation. On Tuesday, hundreds gathered outside the Tulsa Police Department to demand the firing of Officer Betty Shelby. For more, we're joined here in New York by Vince Warren, Executive Director of the Center for Constitutional Rights. On the phone with us, Bree Newsom, artist and activist. Last year, armed only with a helmet and climbing gear, she scaled the 30-foot flagpole on the South Carolina State Capitol grounds and unhooked the Confederate flag as police officers shouted at her to come down. Bree shimmied to the top of the flagpole, took the flag in her hand and said, quote, you come against me with hatred. I come against you in the name of God. This flag comes down today. She is joining us. She is from Charlotte, North Carolina, and via Democracy Now! Video stream in Washington, D.C., Rashad Robinson, Executive Director of Color of Change, who's launched a new petition called Terrence Crutcher Died for Being Black, Indict Officer Betty Shelby. So we invite, welcome you all to Democracy Now! Bree, I want to begin with you. These riots that broke, you could call them uprisings, riots of fear and anger, protests in Charlotte, North Carolina that took place after the killing, the police killing. Can you talk about what you understand? You're not there now, but what you understood took place.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what took place in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I am in contact with folks who are on the ground there, who were there, is what we have witnessed several times in the past 2 years, what we've witnessed in America since the 60s at least. And this is an incident of police brutality that in many ways is the straw breaking the camel's back kind of moment. Like many cities around the nation, in Charlotte, we have a real issue of
People wonder why the phrase is Black Lives Matter. So we, look, there's a thousand stories of the police taking people into custody without shooting them. There's a guy who shot up the church in Charleston, killed 9 people in a church. They took him into custody and they got him Burger King afterwards. There's a terrorist in New York and New Jersey. They just caught him. Look, I don't want the guy in the Charleston shooting to get shot on site. I don't want the terrorist to get shot, even though he's a terrorist and he did the bombings right next to my family and friends. I want us to be America. And I want us to be better than the terrorists, better than the mass shooters. All those guys, okay, hey, we found a way to take them alive. But when it comes to an innocent, unarmed black man in the middle of Tulsa, Oklahoma, we just can't find a way to cuff him, even though he did nothing wrong. Boom, 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 we're going to shoot him and we're going to kill him. So you're going to see the video for yourselves right now. It's Terrence Crutcher. He's 40 years old. And he is a father. He sings at his local church. He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to be proven innocent. He didn't do anything wrong. His car stalled in the middle of the highway. Has your car ever stalled in the middle of the highway? It happened to me once, but I didn't get shot. You probably didn't get shot. But he's a black man in America, so he's going to get a different scenario. So look, if you can stomach it, I'm going to show you the videos. He's going to get shot here, and yes, he dies. So I'm giving you that as a warning. Let's look at the first video.
All right, I'm going to hit the recorder. This guy's still walking. And following commands.
Not for taser, I think.
That's what got a feeling that's about to happen.
That looks like a bad dude, too. To be honest with
you. Which way are they facing?
Police 1, they're facing westbound. I think he may have just been tasered.
Shots fired!
Ooh. 321, we have shots fired. We have one suspect down.
I need to get this, eastbound closed down if they could, because they're not going to be able to let anybody.
Okay.
That looks like a bad dude. Really? To me, it looks like a guy stuck in the middle of the road with his hands up in the air. But they see a black man in America, and that dude looks dangerous. He's probably on something. Why? He's a 40-year-old guy. He's got kids at home. Why is he dangerous? Why is he dangerous? Okay, you're going to tell me that if that's a blonde woman in the middle of the street with a stalled car, they're going to shoot her when she's got her hands up. You really believe that? There's not a single person in the country that actually believes that. I don't care how hard right-wing you are. That's a 19-year-old blonde girl. You know they're not going to shoot her. You know it for a fact. That's an 87-year-old white grandmother. You think they're going to shoot her with her hands up? No. You think there's going to be a guy somewhere going, that looks like a bad dude? What did he say? He said, They need to taser that thing. I mean, that's the least of the problems. Most of the problem is that they shot him. And then they leave him there to die. Here's another camera angle.
This guy's still walking. And following commands.
Not for taser, I think.
You expect. Yeah, well, I expect.
That's got a feeling that's about to happen.
That looks like a bad dude, too. To be honest with them.
Which way are they facing?
Police 1, they're facing westbound. I think he may have just been tasered.
Shots fired!
Ooh. 321, we have shots fired. We have one suspect down.
I need to get this eastbound closed down if they could, because they're not going to be able to let anybody.
Okay.
Don't worry about the goddamn eastbound. The guy's on the floor bleeding out. Go help him. Go help him. Black Lives Matter, because apparently you think they don't. Go help the guy. You just shot him. There's 4 of you. Go help him. He's dying. Go help him. What kind of cops are you? You're supposed to protect and serve us. Go help the guy. They let him bleed out for 2 minutes. And he died. What? Where was the goddamn danger? No. We've been trained. We don't take 0.0001% chance. My job is to get home. No, your job is to protect and to serve us. There's a 50% chance at least that he's going to die there if you don't go stop his bleeding. Nah. I'm going to go and I'm going to close the highways. I'm going to do this. I'm going to back away. I'm going to figure out how I'm going to cover my ass. But the last thing I'm going to do is help that guy who's bleeding on the ground and dying because I shot him when he had his hands up. They're like, oh, he's about to get tasered. What could Terrence have done not to get killed? If he went towards them, they definitely would have shot him. He goes away from them, they shoot him. He's got his hands up, they shoot him. If he had his hands down, they shoot him. What could he have done not to get shot other than be not black? So now they're caught. In the old days, you know, why is this a big issue now? Because now we have the video. You think this never happened? You think black people have been making it up all across the country for hundreds of years? Oh, no, the black people, they're notorious liars. The cops were giving out candy and unicorns to black people, and they've just been lying about it because they like to lie about cops. No, this is the treatment they've been getting all along. Now we're just seeing it. And so now that we have the video before, they're like, oh, he was dangerous, super dangerous. He was reaching. Oh, by the way, was he armed? Of course not. Did he have a gun? Of course not. He's a regular citizen. His car stalled. Okay. By the way, they weren't going to investigate him. They were going to investigate something else. They see a black man in the middle of the road. They don't think I should help him. They think I should kill him. Now, look, I'm going to get to the person who did it, and it's not on purpose. That is very important, and I'll get to that in a second, and some of you might disagree with that. But hold. So now that we see it, the police chief in Tulsa, Chuck Jordan, says, okay, ooh. Very disturbing. It's very difficult to watch. Well, that is true. And see, this is why the cops don't like cameras, because then we get to see what they've been doing all along. And then he says, I will just make this promise to you. We will achieve justice in this case. I want to assure our community, and I want to assure all of you people across the nation who are going to be looking at this. We will achieve justice, period. Okay, good. I'll take it. That's a good statement by the police chief. Let's hope we get justice. Okay. Now, the person who did the shooting is Betty Shelby. She's an officer there. Now, I show you her picture because that's all over the news, and that's who did the shooting. Now, I want to tell you, it's not about her. It's not about her. It's the training. It's the training. It's the training. So why do I say it's not about her? Just in 2015, I did another story. A reserve officer shot another unarmed black man named Eric Harris. We did that story. And every time it's the same excuses. Oh, it's a few bad apples, and I don't know. He's a black guy. He was reaching up. He was reaching down. He was moving forward. He was moving backward. Shot him, shot him, shot him. But it's not just Eric Harris. It's not just Terrence in this case. So let me give you stats. So far in 2016, 19 people have been killed by police officers in Oklahoma, giving the state the sixth highest per capita rate of killings by police in the U.S., according to statistics compiled by The Guardian. Last year, Oklahoma ranked number 4 per capita with 37 killings, The Guardian data showed. Why are they always near the top? Do you think it's just Betty Shelby? No, she panicked, and she did, because why? Because we all have it in the back of our heads. And apparently they're trained this way. Remember, the black guys, they're on something. They're dangerous, okay? And even remove the racial element of it, everyone is dangerous. Cops, whatever you do, don't take any chances. Mow them down, mow them down. There's a white guy in Miami. Came out. He came out of a barbershop. They claimed he had done a bank robbery, and he had a razor with no razor in it. Are you going to investigate? You're not going to investigate. Shoot, 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 shoot. Oh, they did. He's dead. Oh, it turns out there was no razor. Oops. Laquan McDonald walking away. Who cares? Shoot him in the back. Guy in South Carolina walking away. Who cares? Shoot him in the back. We don't take any chances. We don't take it. It's the training. And there are worse departments, and there are better departments. We told you about a good department in San Antonio where they actually train people not to kill people at the first blink of an eye. In Oklahoma, they don't do proper training. They tell you everything's a danger, and even if the guy's got his hands up, even if there's four of you and only one of him, even if he's not armed, even if he does everything, just don't take any chances. Whatever you do, you are God, and their lives do not matter. Now, finally, I'm going to give you one last video of him sitting there, as his lawyer describes, in a pool of his own blood while they take their sweet time getting to him. Watch.
All righty. GOP paved way for election paranoia there. Yeah, they are trying to say that the election is rigged, folks. The election is not rigged. Donald Trump is just, he doesn't know what to say. He's just trying to talk to his base. The thing about Donald Trump, he talks to his base. He revs up his base. He revs up his supporters. He revs up the nutcases, the haters, the clowns, the foons, the buffoons, the fools. He revs those people up. But what he should be doing is trying to say the things issue-oriented, policy-oriented, that's going to drive more votes towards to his way, drive more votes his way. But that's not what he's doing. He's only feeding into the paranoia of his supporters. These people, his supporters, are programmed to cause violence if he doesn't win. If he doesn't win the election, there's proof to that. He was or will be inciting violence. If he doesn't win, now he's saying if he doesn't win, democracy will be no more. He's feeding into this paranoia. Trump is the worst thing. I've said this before. Once the election is over and he loses, and I hope he does, we will not hear the last of Donald Trump. He has said if he loses, he's going to take a vacation, a long vacation. I doubt that. He may take a week or a month or so, but Donald Trump will be back. I mean, he's got these loony supporters, most of them, not all of them, but most of them, some of them, because I've had some of his supporters call the show, and I ain't going to say that they're loony. I may not agree with their side, but some of them are level-headed people, but the majority of them are not, put it that way. He says he's going to retire. He says he's going to take a vacation, maybe even retire. Who knows? He's going to take a vacation, but I don't think so. I think Donald Trump, he'll go away for a few weeks probably, but he'll be back because he loves the limelight. Donald Trump loves doing what he's doing. He loves talking to people. He loves talking to the world. But what he doesn't like, and it's been proven, he doesn't like it when people say nasty things about him, when people don't agree with him. He jumps back at them. I mean, if he's losing, he doesn't want people. He can't stand for people to say rotten things about him, even if it's the truth. And my understanding is that Donald Trump has two court dates. We just have to see where that goes. Criminal court dates, one this month and one next month. Okay, not this month, but in November and December. Okay, I understand that. We'll see where that goes. If there's any truth to that, we'll see where it goes. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Making the world a better place one show at a time. Tune in and listen and have fun. This show is all about fun. Okay, let me read something here. There are a lot of crazy people all over the place, complete nut jobs. I do a lot of unfriending as soon as I find out. Okay, I posted this on Facebook. This was a while ago. On writing, this is about writing, you know, because I'm a writer and a lot of the people who come on the show are writers also. There is no right or wrong way to write. As long as the story is free of mistakes and errors and the reader has a good time, most readers do not care about a mistake, a misplaced modifier or sentence structure. They just want to read a good story. Okay, that's what I posted. And a lot of people disagree with that. Well, you know what? I always say you cannot please everybody. And I don't try. I don't try to please everybody because I know there's some people out there. There are some people out there. You just cannot win over. Even if you tried, you're not going to win these people over. So I don't try to please everyone, but I do try to engage people in on the conversation or the topic of the hour, you know, of the show. You know, I know everybody's not going to agree with me, and that's fine, because down through the years that I've been doing the show, I mean, and posting online and stuff like that, a lot of people have not been agreeing with me. That's fine. That's great. I said before, and I'll say this again, I would not want everybody to agree with me, to everything that I say, to everything that I do. I wouldn't want that because you know why? It would be boring. If everybody agreed with everything that I say, oh yeah, George, that's right. George, you're right. George, I mean, that you're doing a great thing, George. That's great. That now people saying things like that, I appreciate it, but it's boring. Disagree with me and debate with me. Tell me why you disagreed. And maybe, hey, I may even start believing what you say and disbelieving what I just mentioned. You know, so that's more fun because you, if someone disagrees with you and they debate you on that disagreement, I mean, that's dialogue going back and forth. You know, if someone agrees with me, you know, there's no dialogue going back and forth. Hey, George, we agree. Bye. there's no dialogue going back and forth. But like I said before, you can't please everybody. So don't try. Don't try. I mean, you can try to engage people. You can try to be level-headed with people. But, you know, I mean, you don't have to go overboard with it because, you know, some people you're never going to be able to engage because they're in a world of their own and they believe whatever they want to believe. But you just hope you can get some level-headed people around you and with you to engage you in great conversation and so on and so forth. And this show, like I said before, this show is all about making the world a better place. All right. It is 7 o'clock, 7:01, straight up in the city of Chicago. It is dark. It's 7 o'clock. I mean, if it was, I think about a month ago, 7 o'clock in Chicago, I mean, the sun was still shining, right? But it's fall. But it feels like summer out there. I'm just so amazed at how great the weather has been for the last few days. Yeah, the last few days, and it still is great. You know, it's kind of scary. It is kind of scary because you feel that it should be a little colder out there, a little cooler this time of the year. But the weather has been so funny for the last few years. You just don't know. Autumn from spring, spring from autumn, or winter from fall, or fall from summer. It's just really, really weird lately. And a lot of people saying it's climate change or something else, you know. But it's real. It's really weird. Weird. If I can say it, something's wrong with my mouth. All righty, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show at 7:02 straight up Chicago time. I believe it's around 65 or 75 degrees near the lake. It feels a little bit humid. But hey, I'm not complaining about it. We're going to enjoy the weather. If it's good weather, great weather, we are going to enjoy it to the fullest. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. If we can do this drum roll for me. Wow, I just love that drum roll. Oh, wow. I just love that drum roll. And it is, let's see. Yeah, 7:03. Okay. I was just talking about Donald Trump's and his supporters and their paranoia. Trump's sex assault accusations are the election's biggest story, and they're literally making women sick. Most women. Yeah, he doesn't have the women vote. They are abandoning him, except for his own supporters. Trump called this woman a liar. Then six witnesses corroborated her story. That's going to be interesting. That's going to be interesting. It's always something about Trump. Trump is a media darling. But the thing about it, he gets negative press, negative press. Did you know Bob Dylan? Bob Dylan won the Nobel Peace Prize. Maybe yours truly will win it someday. Bob Dylan. And they still can't get a hold of Bob Dylan to get his take on it. I got a feeling that Bob is going to reject it. He's going to reject it. I don't think he should. I mean, I think a check comes with it, too. I don't think he should reject it. I mean, it's a great honor and he should accept it because he's a great composer, a great singer, and he's got some super music out there from all the way from 1961 all the way up to 2016. He has some great stuff out there. And Bob is one of my favorites. I mean, he is totally, one of my favorite songs. He's Bob done written about a 2,000 songs maybe or more. But one of my favorites is, and I have a lot of favorite Bob Dylan songs, is Positively 4th Street. Yes, that's the title, Positively 4th Street. It's a great song. I'm pretty sure Bob wrote it out of his experiences, you know. So if you are a Bob Dylan fan, check that song out, Positively 4th Street, and I'm pretty sure you'll come away with, wow, amazing, great writing, great singing, and a great message. Okay, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. We got this.
The things that keep us dumb. The media, in particular, the local news, 50% of airtime, is wasted on previews of the shallow stories that are coming up next. The lead stories are usually the most disgusting and evil things they can dig up for that day. For instance, anything involving black youth will be a top story. Anything involving black youth and violence will be even on top of the top story. Anything involving black on black crime will be a top story. Anything involving black on white crime will be an even more top story. So you get the idea. They lie about everything. The weather reports are always wrong, except in places like Hawaii. And then they always have a daily health report by a, quote, specialist, except the people usually give out the wrong advice. And then they always end the report with, check with your doctor before following any of these tips. So that should tell you right there that it's questionable and suspect. Gas prices ending with 0.9 cents. I never quite understood this. Although I don't drive, I prefer to be driven. But I do observe things when I'm on the road. And in the early days, gas actually sold for 9.9 cents per gallon. So it wasn't dumb back then. But nowadays, it's ridiculous. And the day is coming when gas is going to cost 79.99 cents. And this display will look like this. Okay, this might be a West Coast thing, but it's gotten over here as well. I used to associate it with Valley Girls. Back in the 80s, 90s, we used to mimic the Valley Girls when they would say things like, oh, and I'm like so happy to like be here, and he's like really cute, and you know, like was like the insert word for whatever you were getting ready to say. And it sounds ridiculous. It did back then, and it still does. Okay, I know a lot of you are big fans of Costco, Walmart, Sam's Club, but I got to say something about especially Costco's. Now, one, you have to buy a membership. What happened, people? Who's dumb enough to pay a store to allow them to shop there? That's number one. Then I heard they don't take food stamps. So there goes, you know, a big piece of your market, Costco, from the people who get food stamps. Why can't they shop with what their money's not good enough? So I just really have an issue with this because it's sort of like an elitist type thing. And I understand you have to buy in bulk and all of that. So, you know, me being single with no children living in my home, I don't see the need to buy in bulk. That's just the only thing I buy in bulk is toilet paper because I'm obsessed with running out of it. But other than that, I don't see stocking up on food or anything. Not at this point. At some point, it will become necessary, people, to stock up as we get closer to Armageddon. But for right now, you can still have just your little, you know, necessary items. But I don't like these Sam's Clubs, Costco's, and all these places that have turned it into just a real hustle. That's what it is. Okay, yeah, the prices are good. I get it. And you save money. But I understand it's always crowded in these places and that some of the deals are not that great. So bear that in mind when you go to these joints. Okay, so award shows are just an inexpensive way for the networks to bring out the top actors and actresses and performers and get them to appear in a TV show for free by offering them glory, a little gift bag, and some cheap little statues. That's really what it boils down to. Political parties are another hustle. In America, they have two goals: make the other party fail, and two, take money from lobbyists to refund re-election, to fund re-election campaigns, and then we re-elect them. That's pretty much what they do. Here's a little history for y'all. The Ford Model T got 24 miles per gallon. So what's our problem? Okay, useless ads. This is another way that they dumb down America. Millions of dollars are spent every day to advertise products that really don't need any advertising. For instance, Tampax. Everybody knows what they've got to do when that time comes. So to advertise them are just useless. This is something that you're taught at home. Before you even get out in public, you're taught about these things. So most people know what Tampax are for. And those ads, they just
Obama is
making people dumber. Okay,
he's
another trend right now, which is also keeping America dumb, is the illusion that certain products, especially candy and dessert products like cake and stuff, are fat-free. To hell they are. I'm fat, and I eat fat-free stuff, and I'm still fat. So don't believe it.
He doesn't believe him because he's losing, but if he was winning,
okay,
then,
how they were able to pull this off, I don't know. But this is considered politically correct. A restaurant named Sambo's, and then you've got the sexy, and all of these things are stereotypical. You've got the sexy flight attendant, and then you've got my favorite, Aunt Jemima. Another case of political correctness is when they decided that calling homeless people bums were an insult, and so the word was changed to homeless. And I remember as a child hearing an adult say, oh, you better do this, you better do that, or you're going to grow up to be a bum. And now, of course, people don't tell their children, if you don't work, if you use drugs, if you spend all your money and don't pay your bills, you're going to wind up to be a bum. No, they tell them you're going to wind up to be homeless. And, you know, political correctness, I don't even know where that term came from. But we used to say, call a spade. And basically that, you know, that's derived from the card game. But the message and the connotation is the same. I call it like I see it. I was homeless, and I was homeless
right
because
face,
of a lot of factors,
right,
but one of them actually was because I was a bum. I was a bum. When I didn't pay my rent, I was a bum. When I put my weed habit over my bills, I was a bum. And when I indulged in a lot of stuff that I couldn't afford at a time when I couldn't afford it, I was a bum.
So
we call it like we see it. Another thing that these politically correct people have changed because they assume that we have a problem with it is that the handicapped are no longer called handicapped. They're called disabled. What's the difference? We still can't do things. I don't mind being called handicapped because I am unable to do the things that I used to do when I was not handicapped. However, it's considered more politically correct to refer to us as disabled. I don't see the difference. This is going to shock some of you, but most of you already know it. Most of that water you're buying, it's tap water. I've been drinking tap water. I put it in my fridge. I've been doing this for years. And guess what? I'm still here. You're wasting your money, folks. Most of that water came from someone's sink.
I don't know why y'all get on TV.
Debit cards, another scam. If you can't control yourself with a credit card, then you definitely can't control yourself with a debit card either. The only difference is that the debit card is only fun while it has money on it. So you can't borrow against the debit card. And that was the whole purpose of creating it, so that these people who don't pay their bills don't have to worry about it. And speaking of dumbing down America, a lot of you can't even spell it. Katie Couric, she's the queen of sympathy journalism. Every interview she does almost has some tears. And this is, you know, what the Illuminati eye of CBS wants us to believe, that they care. Yeah, believe that. Speaking of the networks, Fox used to have a terror alert where they would put up these little graphs to describe, you know, what stage we were in terms of the current threat level. And to the left is the one for grown-ups, and then on the right is, you know, little one for kids. They didn't do the one on the right. That actually is from somewhere else. But the one on the left, that was what they used to do. And they stopped this, thank God, back in 2008.
Trump, I'm hearing right now that Trump is saying that he doesn't believe in the polls anymore. He doesn't believe that Clinton is leading anymore. He thinks they're rigged. He thinks something's going on. He thinks something shady is going on. Matter of fact, he knows something shady is going on. Trump knows these things. He just cannot give any evidence to what he believes. He's saying the elections are rigged. Show us proof. Give us some evidence. He's saying that he doesn't believe in the polls anymore. Or he doesn't, folks, the only reason why Trump doesn't believe in the polls anymore is because he's down in just about every quarter category in terms of voting. In every state, in every must-have state, battleground state, as they calls it. That's why he doesn't believe anymore, because he's losing. That's why he doesn't believe in the polls. I mean, you've heard Trump. If Trump was winning in the polls, if he was way ahead, he'd be out there boasting and bragging and just, I'm ahead in the polls. I'm winning. I'm winning here. I'm winning there. He would be blowing his own tune higher than the sky. You know, I mean, but the fact that he's losing, anytime Trump is losing, he's always blaming someone else for his losing, for him losing. And that's bad. You know, Hillary was correct a few months ago when she said Trump was thin-skinned. This guy is more than thin-skinned. He just can't take it. He can't take the heat. So he should get out of the kitchen because he can't take it. We would be in so much trouble if Trump won. If Trump won, he would get rid of all his enemies within the United States. Liberal radio, liberal TV, Fox News, any enemy that he thinks have said something bad about him during the campaign, he would get rid of them. You know, because this is the way he is. Okay, he's saying he doesn't believe in the polls. Okay, here's a quote from him. Even though we're doing pretty good in the polls, okay, I don't believe the polls anymore. Okay, so in other words, they're doing pretty good in the polls, the Trump campaign, but then he goes on to say he doesn't believe in the polls. In other words, he doesn't believe in the polls even though he's doing good. So I'm pretty sure he doesn't mean it that way, but that's the way it sounds. You know, that's the way it sounds. I believe in them, he repeated. I don't believe in them, he repeated. Because he's losing. Trump accused the media of hiding good polls about him and playing up the bad news. Wow. He has no evidence of that. it's comments like these that frustrate many Republicans in Washington who privately, you know, catch that Trump and his allies are defying reality. He said, wow, that's something. He thinks the media is hiding his good polls and only showing his bad poll numbers. That's crazy. That's ridiculous. Even the Republicans are saying, Trump, that's ridiculous. He's coming up with every scenario to try to blame someone else or something because he's behind in the polls. He can't believe that nobody likes him. He can't believe that people are refusing to vote for him. He just can't believe it. He cannot take it. He said, he's Donald Trump. Nobody does this to Donald Trump. I'm a billionaire. And still in all, people have stopped talking about his taxes. They've stopped talking about him because he's not going to release them. And Trump has got he's gotten plenty of blowback about his taxes, but he will not produce them. He is steadfast. He's not going to produce them. There is no doubt about it. Something is wrong there. Totally, totally wrong. Either he's not as rich as he say he is. He is not given to all the charities that he claims he's given to. Some charities are still trying to find a donation check that he submitted years ago and they can't find it. He may be in collusion with Russia. Whatever it is, he's hiding it and he doesn't want us to know. I mean, if you're running for president of the United States, you should show the voters everything they ask for, because you are applying for a job. This is an interview. You know, you can't tell the person who's interviewing you, no, I'm not going to show you nothing. You can't do that in the real world. You know, you won't get the job. You know, Trump has gotten away with so much. I just think that after the election, something really, really negative is going to happen. He may even wind up going to jail on some of these charges, some of his scandals, and some of this stuff that's come out. There may be suits up his butt. You never know. But I have the feeling that after the election, after he loses, and I hope he does, that it's not over. Something is waiting to come out, a bombshell or something. Breaking news are on top of breaking news is going to be coming out about Trump immediately after the election is over. I just have that feeling. We are not done with Trump by a long shot. Even if he loses this election, something else is going to drop after this election. And it's frightening, but you know what? It's true. And I'm just knowing somebody out there is waiting to do this. And I do.
Heaven help the child who never had a home. Heaven help the girl who walks the streets alone. Heaven help the roses if the bombs begin to fall. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who has a crawl. Heaven help us all.
Lord, hear our call when we call.
now lay me down before I go to sleep. In a troubled world, I pray the Lord to keep hatred from the mighty and the mighty from the small.
My son has been arrested for walking while black.
A lot of sons have been arrested.
Yeah, I get it. It doesn't make me, you know, you can't buy your way out of this one. You can't educate your way out of it.
It's happening too much, or at least we know about it now.
It's always happened. We see more evidence of it. And too often people still are inclined to say, well, if he'd had a different attitude, well, if he hadn't been driving, well, if he hadn't been this, if he hadn't been that, almost as if the victim is partially to blame. You know, in the case of Garner, well, he shouldn't have resisted. In the case of Brown, well, where was he? In the case of Trayvon, well, he had a hood on, you know, and in the case of whoever, you know, in case of Sandra Bland, you know, well, her attitude was bad. It's like, no, stop. Stop. This has nothing to do with the victims. This has everything to do with the culture of demeaning a person of color. And there is no justification for a society where my son has a far greater chance of being stopped, held, killed than your son, simply because he's black.
Donald Trump, this is just in, Donald Trump throws a tantrum, goes off on the birther issue after Obama tells him to stop whining. Oh, yeah, Obama, I'm pretty sure if you following this, folks, you know that Obama was at a press conference, I believe, in the White House or somewhere, and he went up to the microphone. He addressed he addressed Donald Trump and told him to stop whining about and blaming blaming other people because he's losing. And that his rig election theory was just a theory. He has no proof saying that the election is going to be rigged. And now Donald Trump is pissed off. He's totally pissed off. He's going crazy. All right, let me say this again. Donald Trump was so outraged by President Obama telling him to stop whining that he has invited Obama, Kenya half brother, to be one of the guests at the final debate. Yeah, Obama's half brother, some people say brother, but his half brother is going to be at the debate because his half brother is a Donald Trump supporter. Yeah, isn't that something? His half. Wow. And I want to say one more thing before we go off the air. We got about a minute or so, folks. I want to say go Cubs. Go Cubs. Go Cubs. I mean, when I say go Cubs, I want them to go all the way, even to winning the World Series. Even to winning the World Series. All right. Thanks, folks. I'm here. Make sure you join me tomorrow. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for podcasting. We're on our way out. The music is going to take us out. Bye-bye. Thank you so much. Love you. Tune in tomorrow. Bye-bye. Thank you.